the first thing I thought, he's fancy.
He's kind of fancy, yeah.
Just the way he grabbed the notebook. I was like, that's pretty fancy. Yeah, grabs it like that.
Yeah, fancy. Hey, hey.
I'll go for it.
I'm Theo Von, and this is Matthew Cole Weiss, and that's the voice of Joe Coy.
Hello.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us, Joe Coy.
I'm so happy I'm finally here.
Dude, you must be so happy overall. Hot off of the new special, man. How do you feel right now?
They always said that Netflix takes it to that next level. And you don't know until you actually get on that platform.
Right.
And man, it's been nonstop.
Yeah.
I mean, it aired March 28th. Yeah, March 28th, and we felt it right away.
Wow.
Like literally just felt it. Like, I can't even explain how it feels.
What do you mean? Like, just getting calls or just...
Just like, yeah, the social media, just it's like just taking off. The rooms, we're adding more to what we've already thought we were maxed out on. It's even more than that. It's crazy, Theo.
Yeah.
It's nuts. I can't explain it.
That's awesome.
But I'm loving it.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to stop. So now it's like they say that window of opportunity, and it's like I'm holding it now. It's like, no, don't.
You're holding it open.
I'm holding it up, man. There's a couple times, you know, Theo, we've been offered those windows of opportunity. I don't know what it was, but
you think something's going to go, or you have a great opportunity. Your set doesn't hit as hard as you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. The crowd isn't right.
Nope. That was the wrong venue. I picked the wrong spot. I held out for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
I said no to the wrong. Fuck that, man. I don't know if we could curse.
Yes,
or,
you could bloody curse.
But I don't want to do that anymore. Like right now I feel it. I can feel it. I feel it inside. I knew we made the right decision, you know, a year and a half ago when we decided to do this ourselves, and I'm glad it's paying off. Man.
So I want to hear, go on. Matt.
This was your third special?
This is my third one. But the first two were the Comedy Central, so I didn't really have a say in it. And, you know, I lost all that content. I can't do anything with it.
Wow.
And it sucks, man. Because when you make that deal, initially, it's like, yeah, I want to be on Comedy Central. But you had no idea that these new platforms were coming, and there was going to be a whole new style of media. You
right.
know what I mean? A whole new way of watching stuff. And that wasn't happening back then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I gave it all away. And now there's these outlets that you can put this stuff on, and I can't do it, man. I have to beg Comedy Central to just give me snippets. And it sucks,
really?
Man.
Oh,
yeah,
sucks.
Man. It's because, you know, they have their platform now.
Yeah.
And it's like they don't want to give their content out.
Yeah,
it's
just,
They want to honor their side of their deals and populate their stuff. Did you feel, because you've done two specials.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of material.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think you work harder than anybody, especially on the road. Like, you're on the road a lot.
Yep.
I mean, honestly. I mean, how many weeks, honestly, would you say over a year are you on average?
I'll just tell you how many I'm not.
Right.
Probably four.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Four, maybe five.
Right. And you have a family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sucks because I missed a lot of my son's child. I was going through my Instagram the other day, and it's just like the most depressing thing you do is scroll down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And go backwards, because it really started. You don't have a kid, Theo. But
no.
For me, it was just watching my son go right back into the womb.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And it started like hurting. Like, it's depressing. He's 14 now. And it was just like I was just looking at the ceiling and then looking at the picture and then reminiscing. Like, I could remember taking that picture. Hurts, man.
Yeah.
But the road is the reason why
you have a resurgence.
The road is why he has a good life.
Right.
I'm sad, but fuck, man, I missed a lot.
And do you have that conversation with your son?
You do? I tell him that. But he knows. He understands. I go, dude, you could have lived like me. You could have seen, me a lot, but you're not going to have any of this shit. None of this shit you have here.
No shoes.
Yeah. One shoe. But
not
all of these shoes.
Yeah.
Do you have, that's hysterical. Do you have a least favorite and a favorite place that you tour to? Like, what's the worst place to go to? Like, what's...
For me, Toledo, Ohio.
Wow.
Back
that's crazy you say that. It's always somewhere in the Ohios, man.
Yeah.
It's always the Ohios.
What's fucked up about Ohio?
I'm going to say Dayton, bro.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
What's up with Ohio?
Okay, mine, I can tell you why Dayton is crazy for me.
Yeah.
Dayton feels like it was made by the government.
Mm.
These aren't real people living there. It's a science project. These people live here, and that's where they figure out how to live with regular society, and then finally they move on to other cities. But But the conspiracy starts at Dayton, Ohio. Whoa. And it's so funny because, you know, this is when I was taking Chris D'Elia on the road. Uh-huh. I took him on the road for about a year or so.
Wow.
Every city we go to, we're funny as shit.
Right.
We're two comics and we're in a city. If we go to a Starbucks, we're making everybody laugh there. We're making right. the people behind the counter. Everybody is knows that Chris and Joe's there and they're laughing. Every restaurant we go, they're laughing. Miami, they're laughing. Everywhere they're laughing. All of a sudden, we're in Dayton. No one's laughing. At anything.
Right.
And Chris and I are like, no, we're fucking funny, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're at a restaurant, no one's laughing. The guy picking us up to drive us to the gig, he's not laughing. And then finally, we're back in the room, and we just start crying laughing. Me and Chris, we're like, maybe they're aliens. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
and this is where the government, you know, makes aliens, you know, function with other humans here at Dayton.
It's a testing,
and,
right?
Yeah, to testing, yeah. And then eventually they move it into general population, you know, wow. like they go to New York and all that. And we're fucking crying hysterically. It's so stupid. We're dying. So now fast forward to the guy picking us up to take us to the show, right? So I got the camera rolling and I'm in the back seat. Chris is in the front. And the guy picking me up, I go, so, any alien sightings here? And Chris is fucking crying. And then I start laughing, right? Because it's a totally inside joke, right? And this is what the guy says. He goes, yeah, you know, there's Hangar 55 here. And now Chris and I just completely stop laughing. It's not even funny anymore. Like, what do you mean Hangar 55? Oh, well, you know, the Roswell crash, you know, the spaceship is stored here at Dayton, Ohio.
Wow.
And the conspiracy is that it's Hangar 55. And they do all the testing with the aliens here. Fucking Chris and I are like, what the fuck? We're looking at each other. We're like in shock. We get out of the car. We're like, I fucking told you, man. They're aliens, man.
Why was Toledo bad for you?
Because I just felt like a lot of people that just hadn't gotten their tetanus shots. Yeah. Didn't know.
Yeah.
Didn't
yeah.
have a big plan.
Yeah. I just got my tetanus shot today.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I literally just came from it.
Wow.
Because I'm going to Botswana.
Well, you have to get one again, or you never had one?
It expires every 6 years.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
So if you're going somewhere. I need three of them. Shit. I need four of them.
You better get the cream, bro.
Dude, right in here.
They got tetanus cream now?
Bro, you better get the cream, bro.
Oh, shit.
I got typhoid in here.
What'd you brush your teeth with? Tetanus cream?
Typhoid?
Hep A, typhoid, rabies, tetanus. It's all going
through me right now. Where are you going?
Botswana.
Botswana.
I'm going to say this.
I think they oversold me, actually, in this place. They're like, you need this, you need that. Ching, 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 ching. $360. I was like, oh, okay.
I'm telling you, it's going to be a good time. You just need 90 shots in your asshole.
That was pretty much
it. And then it's fun after that.
Well, dude, I'm just going to say, if you stay off a Grindr in Botswana.
Yeah. Don't be on Grindr.
Stay off the gay dating. Yeah. It's not safe. Matter of fact, I'd go straight in Africa.
Yeah. Just once.
Well, you know how it shows the location? Like 450 feet away. Like, yeah. I have a feeling I turn a Grindr and it's like 18 miles away is the closest gay
17
person.
17 clicks away.
That's great.
Just 9,000 steps into your favorite butthole.
So I have actually a question from one of our fans, yes. Cameron Arnaldi. He's the one who makes our stuff.
Yeah, he makes some great JPEGs for us. This guy's a great artist.
Nice.
Do you feel pressure to have a new special now, like every year, or do you one up yourself, or is this like... What is the pressure after doing something like this?
I've always been that guy, though. I don't even care about the special. It's when I return to a city. That's my goal.
Wow.
So when I go back to Nashville, it's got to be a different act. And if it's not 100%, then I will at least ad-lib, you know what I mean, and improvise. And,
yeah. Now, do you feel like sometimes you'll give them some of the hits? I mean, you got to drop a hit out there every now and then if there's already a previous hit, really?
No, I won't.
Huh.
Nope. Can't. Huh,
really?
Yeah, I don't even enjoy doing it.
Right.
I don't. Now, and what sucks is because it's like a catch-22 where they yell it out when I walk out, and it drives me crazy.
Ting, ting,
Joseph!
Yeah.
Do the Wii! I'm like, fucking, no one is even playing the Wii anymore.
Yeah.
And I got so much, I don't know, I love to write. My son's 14, and it's like, you know, when he does something, I immediately have to go up on stage and do it. I have to.
Yeah.
Just say it.
Yeah.
No,
just get it out.
Just get it out.
Does your son like being in your act?
Yeah, especially now that Netflix is pushing it. He didn't really get it with Comedy Central. One, he was young, and two, no one watches Comedy Central. Especially in his demo.
Yeah.
So he wasn't really getting it. It was just a lot of creepy old people going, "Hey, is that Ting Ting?" And then my son's like, "Who the fuck are you?" Like that's not, like, "Yeah, it's me." But who are you? You know what I mean? But now with Netflix, everyone's got it at his school.
Yeah.
So he's like king shit at his school right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's like he goes to like this cool school with all these like celebrity, you know, dads and moms. You know what I mean? So it's like it's extra cool when right. Mrs. Universe is snapping little Joe's dad. You know what I mean? Like it's the coolest thing. And he's showing me. He's like, look, his friend Mark, his mom is Miss Universe.
Wow. And, well,
ex-Miss Universe. He's like, his mom is, look, she just posted you on Netflix, so it makes him feel cool. Karan Butler's daughter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like cool people. Mark Anthony's son.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just like.
That's crazy. Do you,
the Prison Break guy. I only know it's like Gus Purcell's dad. I just know the guy, the lead in Prison Break.
The Dominic.
Dominic. That's it. That's his dad. Yeah. Dominic Purcell. Yeah. Fuck. He was king shit for 2 years of my life.
Yeah.
All I heard was my son bragging about Dominic Purcell. Oh, Gus's dad.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the shit, dad. Prison Break's coming out. Why can't you be on Netflix, dad, like Dominic? Like, can Dominic tell a fucking joke, man? Fuck you, Dominic, until I see Dominic. Like, hey, how are you doing, man? Big fan, bro. Me and my son love you. But I, okay, when I first did the joke about, you know, him playing with himself, I remember going up on stage and saying it, and he was on the side of the stage. And I remember coming off the stage and just like apologizing to him because it didn't really hit me because it was my first time performing it right in front of him.
Yeah.
And then I saw him and it's just like, I could tell that it kind of hurt his feelings, like he felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I was like apologizing at the end of the show instead of like, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, you know, they're just jokes, Joe.
To your
like,
son.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, I got to make fun. I got to tell me. I got to say me. I also do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if I'm going to make fun of him, then I got to make fun of me. Like I do it. And not only do you do it, but I did it worse.
Right.
I'm more nasty than you.
Right.
I'm more disgusting
than
you. Does
that make it more uncomfortable?
No, he loves it. Like when I did that, that's when it was like it changed. It was like, oh, yeah. When I told the story about me and then, yeah, he gets off on that. He loves it.
Literally.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean it like that. But yeah, he appreciates it more that. I can make fun of myself as well as other people, I guess. Yeah. Am I saying that right? I don't know. But.
And did you, like, so you had done two specials with Comedy Central, right? And did you feel like that your career was kind of, like, at a plateau or something? I mean, did you feel like, I mean, because you've been doing comedy for how long?
This is 28th year.
Yeah.
28 years. Yeah.
So did you, I mean, what were some of those feelings there? Because you have to, I mean, I would feel at 28 years like this, you know, and you've had a great career, you know, but that this is...
I felt like it was plateauing, but it was a beautiful plateau.
Right.
You know, I took Chris D'Elia on the road and, you know, and then Chris just took off. Like, I mean, when I got him, he was like about 2 years in, I think, or maybe 3 years, maybe.
Yeah, and he's great.
And then all of a sudden, he blew up, you know, and here I am going, fuck, this is my 23rd year. What the fuck's going on, man? I'm the one that let him go on the road with me. Where's my show? But right. I could have went that route, but I didn't. You know, I was like, yo, congratulating him. Good job, man.
Yeah.
Because I knew it's going to happen. It's eventually going to happen.
Yeah.
It stopped. The dream stops when you stop dreaming. As cheesy as that sounds, right?
Like, no, well, look, I mean, you're somebody who, you know, like, I think there's not a lot of people you can ask, you know, than somebody who's been doing comedy for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And who's had some, I mean, that's a lot of highs and lows. And
yeah.
You feel them solely because you're the fucking instrument.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you feel it immediately.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
I got to go back on the road again. My son has to go to private school.
Miss Universe.
I don't want him to. Yeah.
Why'd you start him in private school? What a horrible start.
I did it. I had him in a public school.
Yeah.
Homeschool. I don't want to give this guy. Yeah. Oh, I want to do that so bad.
Homeschool.
Homeschool
bro.
Is where it's at.
Dude, yeah.
It is, huh?
Yeah. You grade him.
Imagine all the material you can get.
Holy shit.
But 1 year homeschool, imagine. That would be a whole new hour.
Oh, my God. And you know how smart he would be?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking dumb. Completely dumb. Begging to go back to school.
You must have some sort of regular, but you know, an elevator fell in one of the UFC hotels, like real far, and fucked up CB Dolloway, one of the UFC fighters. His back is fucked up from that, apparently. Apparently, he's suing. And I don't think he fought that day. I think they had to cancel his fight. I think. I might be wrong about that, but I know his back was like significantly fucked up from that fall.
Elevators make it too easy, man. I miss the old days sometimes when you just... Yeah, scratched him from the fight.
He's scratched from the fight? Yeah, and he's fought since, but I think he's still having problems with his back.
Yeah, and that's hard to fix to a back.
It's one of the hardest things to make better again. It seems like every time people get surgery, it's just a slippery slope. It's very rare that someone gets surgery on their back and they go, oh, my back's great now. Everything's fine. It's always like, yeah, I got to go in again. I got another disc. You're like, oh, no. And they're literally getting their back fused from top to bottom. I know dudes with like 4 or 5 fake discs in their back.
That are still fighters too?
Yep.
No way.
Tito has several fused in his neck. He has artificial spacers from where the discs used to be.
Yeah.
He has that in his back. He has multiple operations on his back.
Do you think that that, like, because some people think, like, you know, a lot of your chi and your, like, lineup is, you know, like, your, do you think that could alter any of it? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's real. And I don't know, what is that? Is it the actual disc gelatin, or is the spine itself, the spinal column, where all the nerves are firing all the way up to the brainstem?
Yeah.
It's really a fucking crazy thing to risk if you think that about that, like the connection between your brain and then that cord that goes to all your body and everything moving. And it's all just this back area that very few people ever even exercise, which is so crazy. Everybody's doing all this shit to get your biceps looking fly and pump your tits up, and very few people are concentrating on like lower back exercises, reverse hypers, protecting your spine, putting muscle all around that bitch, work that core, do like kettlebell windmills. You ever do kettlebell windmills?
Nah, dude.
Oh, dude, they're shit. They're so good. Kettlebell windmills, you press the kettlebell and you go down and you touch the ground by your foot and then straighten back up again. It's just amazing for your spine. Like all the muscles around your back that stabilize everything, and your obliques and your abs and all your core.
Yeah.
It's a great exercise.
I got to do more like adult fitness, man. I got to G up a little bit.
That's what it looks like? Damn, look at all that shit.
That's a human spine?
Yep.
No.
That's the nervous system. That's the nerves.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to eat this in China next week, dude. In a weird way.
You might.
You can have dick over there, somebody said. You can have human. Human
dick? Yeah.
Buddy of mine said that. And he's eating a lot of. Oh, he's eating everywhere.
Is he Andrew Zimmerman?
Uh-uh.
Weird foods guy?
No,
trying to get him
guy?
On the podcast. Yeah, he's a chef. Travels all over the world. Really cool guy.
Well,
That picture's fucking bizarre, man. To think that that's all the stuff that's firing your nerves.
That's crazy. And what is that? What does that even look like? It almost looks like a jellyfish or like a... It looks like it's reaching for something, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's shooting off into the cosmos, son. Yeah. That thing at the top is making nuclear bombs. That thing at the top is making 4G cell phones and 40 megapixel front-facing cameras. That's what that thing is making. That thing is making time machines. Nah. That fucking thing is making satellite transmission of video signals instantaneously delivered to televisions worldwide. That's what that thing's making.
Dude,
that thing's making Teslas, Ferraris. That thing's making pistols and steroids. That thing's making Oxycontin. That fucking thing's making everything. That's what's crazy. Fucked up about the human brain.
How scary is that when you think about that?
That thing's making whiskey. That thing's making crystal meth and crank. That thing's making nail polish and fake tits. That thing is off the charts. Yeah, yeah. If you looked at the human brain for like all the shit that it's responsible for, you'd be like, what? That area? Oh, my God.
And it looks like something you would think maybe wouldn't even do nothing. If you walked by that on the street and you didn't know it was a brain, you'd be like, oh, man.
That's one of my favorite
shit out here. You'd be like a big animal shit out here.
All-time favorite movies is Mars Attacks, where they had their exposed brain. Ack, ack. Remember that? You don't remember Mars Attacks?
I never seen anything like that.
Dude, you never saw Mars Attacks?
I don't watch all of them.
This is one of the greatest movies of all time. It's Tim Burton, right? Is that who?
Not facing it?
I mean, that's why they have those ad gag laws. They have laws.
What do you mean? To not let you see ads like that?
Ad gag laws are laws that prevent people from filming inhumane activities.
What the fuck is that?
It's their crazy, corrupt laws. That's what it is.
That's crazy. Like, you can't film the actual how they're doing it?
Because they're all so horrific that they would lose money. That if people were aware.
Yeah, well.
I know. You're right.
So what?
You're right. And they should definitely change it. It's just they're making so much money. The only way you can make a $2 burger You know, you have to. I mean, think about how
they
much
always say GMOs is so because, like, well, it feeds poor people. I'm like, all right, but why are the non-poor eating it? Well, then see, why are you serving it to everybody?
GMOs it's are not a government touchy cheese. Subject because almost everything has been modified. Almost everything we eat. Corn used to be this tiny little thing that was like. The way Rinella describes it, he said it was like those little corns that you get when you get a salad, those little flexible little tiny corns. That was what corn was like.
And so
like
he said corn has no nutritional value.
Well, it's calorie rich, you know, if you're just looking for a source of carbohydrates. It doesn't have a lot of nutritional value, though, no. But it's if you're just looking for carbohydrates, it can, you know, definitely fuel you up. People. A bowl of, like, you know, a bowl of cooked corn.
Yeah, corn should only be for the poverty stricken.
Yeah. Well, it's tastes good. It's yummy with butter.
It sure is.
It's not a bad food.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Oh, on the grill?
Yeah, it's just not super. It's like one of those weird grains that really you probably shouldn't be eating. You know?
Yeah.
Fucking delicious, though. Corn on the grill? Wrapped in aluminum foil with butter and fucking salt.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Come on, son.
So you ever get one of those stands the Mexicans put with the shake stuff on it? Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. How come they're the only ones who figured out that, like, spicy?
Yeah, a little chili powder on the butter.
Trump's trying to get rid of the Mexicans.
You gotta leave some of their stuff.
Their food is fantastic.
Can we use the Mexican research?
Food of all time. No one's even close. There's no one better than a real Mexican place like that place in La Jolla. That burrito stand
Ramiro's?
That has those chicken burritos that's near the condo.
Ramiro's.
Jesus Christ, that's good food.
Yeah, that's good.
When we come home from shows hammered.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Do the La Jolla store.
Yeah, drunk. It was like Denny's or that for a while. Yeah.
Fuck, that's 100% better than Denny's.
Yeah. So you got out. So you shot your first deer and then was like, yeah, this is the way I'm going to go?
Yeah, right away. I knew right away. As soon as I shot it, I was like, okay. This is how I was looking. This is a wild animal. This animal might not have even ever seen a person until it saw me. It's entirely possible.
Where? What was it?
It was in the Missouri Breaks. It's in Montana. It's called the Missouri Breaks. It's off the banks of the Missouri River. We took a canoe trip. We took a bunch of canoes 40 miles down a river.
And it's just a giant park? National park?
Well, it's all public lands. It's all an area you're allowed to hunt. You can just buy a tag. So that's what we did.
But anybody, no one lives there. There's no homes there.
No, you can't. You can't.
Show me. Show me on your map where this place is.
I could.
On Google
could.
Maps?
Take some time, though. Well, let me just describe
it. Okay, yeah.
I'll describe it. Well, this is the best way to describe it. The issue is that although it's near a river, what they didn't understand back then when they were first discovering this part of America is that it's the remnants of the Great Western Inland Sea. It used to be a gigantic inland ocean with like fucking megalodons and dinosaurs and shit. They find a ton of dinosaurs out in Montana. It's like a dinosaur. And a matter of fact, a guy I know, his friend had a ranch and a fucking paleontologist found a dinosaur on his ranch and he got $1.5 million for it.
Really?
Yes. They found a fucking full intact dinosaur.
Lottery.
Very like, you know, partially intact dinosaur. But so the ground is like, you know that ground that's in the bottom of a lake where it's like silt, where it's not quite dirt. It's like mushy, kind of silty because it's just been there forever and it's been the bottom of a lake. That's what the ground is out there. So nothing grows in that shit. There's like some bushes and some small trees, but most of it is just mud. And occasionally you get some patches that sustained like forest growth, but there's a lot of it where it's just mud.
That's the Badlands?
It's called the Missouri Breaks.
Okay.
And
it's not the Badlands.
When you're walking around, like your boots get caked up with this stuff. Yeah. So they become three times as heavy. Like the bottom, it's like, it sticks to the bottom of your boot. So anytime it's even remotely wet out there, you're walking in this like incredible goo. And so nothing grew there. So they gave these homesteading parcels to all these people. So you find those old houses. So as we're going down the river, you would see a homestead. And you look over, you see the remnants of a building where some people tried to make it. They said, fuck it, we're going to get some cattle. The government's going to give us 40 acres if we just work it.
Because they gave it to them there. They're like, do anything with it.
You know, they're doing that in parts of Russia right now.
Really?
Yeah, they're doing that. I think Eastern Russia.
I'm not
they were just talking about homesteading in Russia, but they would just give you a parcel of land. All you had to do was work it and make good of the land. They were just trying to inhabit these areas. So they encouraged people to take a chance, but no one made it in the Missouri Breaks. You couldn't grow anything. It just didn't last. You know, they last a little while, but they all eventually gave up. Damn. So now when you go down that river, you just see
abandoned homes.
Rotten down old houses from the 1700s, 1800s. Cool. Super cool. And deer everywhere.
So then you shot one. Did you train on it beforehand? on how to shoot and stuff?
Not too much, because with a rifle, when you're shooting with a rifle, we did a few practice shots. He just sort of emphasized that you just have to center the animal in the reticle and squeeze the trigger very gently. You don't want to yank it. You want to.
That's all he taught you?
Yeah, basically taught me trigger control and where to hit the animal. With a bow, it's way more difficult. But with a rifle, if you have a steady rest and you understand to not punch the trigger, you want the trigger to go off by accident. You want to just pull, bang, and it goes off. You don't want to go bang. You don't want to like force it to go off, because if you force it to go off, you're going to jerk and you're going to move it offline.
You knew that before the first time you did it?
Yeah, he told me that.
Okay.
Yeah, and I talked to some people because I was really interested in like what I had to do, but I didn't get nearly enough practice as I should have.
Yeah.
Shooting, I maybe shot like 7 shots with a rifle.
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah, we just shot at some targets. We set them up on the beach, and once I started hitting like pretty much the center, and he figured out what I was doing. He's like, "Well, let's conserve
7 ammo. Shots."
Like, you got it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Well, looking back on it now, it's kind of crazy. But
from how far away? How far away is 7 shots?
We were practicing from about 100 yards away.
And you hit things from 100 yards away?
Yeah, with a gun. That's not that hard. It's pretty easy with a gun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the rifle has a scope, and the scope is magnified. So when you're looking down the rifle scope, even so, like I shot an elk just a couple weeks ago, and it was 287 yards, really far, and it hit it perfect.
Call of Duty?
Just like, bang, hit in the body. You don't want to hit it in the head. It's that if you miss, you blow their eyeballs out or something, or you blow their nose off, and they run away, and you never find them.
Oh.
You want to hit them in the body only. Nobody ever shoots anything in the head.
Have you...
I shouldn't say nobody, but...
You're just not supposed to?
Super rare.
And then what, you just hit in the body and let it, like, fall down eventually?
If you shoot in the lungs, you go through both lungs, and they're dead almost instantly. They just fall over. They run till there's no more air, and they fall down, and that's it. It takes a few seconds if you hit them right.
Have you ever missed one?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so hold on. So take me through that. I want to know what that's like. Well, you get out there, you get like a shot. How do you decide? Wait, how do you decide who shoots it?
Well, that's depending on who you're hunting with. You have to decide that in advance. Most of the time, you would go like depending on whether or not you had a guide, or whether or not you were going with buddies to do like a buddy system. Like you would help each other. Like you would say, like, you're up today. Like say if you and I went,
yeah,
and we were both hunting. I'd say, look, this is what we do today. You're up, and depending on what kind of hunting you're doing, like say I'll glass over in this area for you, meaning I'll look with binoculars in this area and you look in this area, that will cover more territory. And then once you find the animal, then we'll make a plan to try to move in on it, find out where the wind is going. There's a lot of things that have to come up. You have to really be careful about your wind. You want to make sure your wind is never drifting down towards the animal, because they can smell you hundreds of yards away.
So if you see one that's downwind,
you're fucked.
You just can't get to
it. Well, most of the time. Every now and then, there's no real logic, just like with people, to animals. There's general rules.
Yeah.
And the general rule is an animal smells you, they'll bolt. But occasionally they don't. So occasionally they smell you and they look at you. Maybe they never smelled a person before.
I saw a deer I was in Rosemont, Chicago.
Oh, yeah?
They had a little like hike behind the place. So I just went and I saw a deer back there, and he just like looked at me. He was pretty close too, and I just kept it. I was like, "Oh, it's like pretty." I just imagine you jumping out of the bushes and like, "Kill it, kill it!" and just like stabbing it with an arrow.
I wouldn't do it that way, but it happens pretty quick. They shoot something with an arrow; it's almost quicker sometimes because they bleed out so quick.
It's so big.
Well, there's a difference between like a gunshot wound creates a lot of trauma and shock,
yeah,
and it blows things apart, but what an arrow does, it's like a samurai sword that slices through everything. So they bleed, like almost instantly, they bleed out.
Yeah.
A lot of times they have no idea what happened. They just felt a sharp pain, and then all of a sudden they're running.
Like, what the fuck?
And they don't know what happened, and they're down, and it's over.
Wait, so okay. So you hunt this deer.
Yeah.
You and your buddy, you're up today.
Yeah, this is how you would do it.
One of you fucking says, "I got one."
Yeah, you see it, and then you would try to figure out how to get to it. You would try to, depending on where the animal is, like if the animal was bedded down, like it was in some bushes bedded down, what you would do is you would try to get to a position where when it got out of its bed, you would be ready.
Oh.
So you'd be, because they all do that. They bed down during the day. They take naps. And they sort of like, they're always awake. They're always just sort of looking around. And then when it starts to get dark, then they get up and start walking around and feed. And so you want to be ready for when he gets up. And a lot of it is a guessing game. You got to guess he's going to go this way.
We found one of those beds in Banff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see them all over the place.
Yeah, I was worried it was moose.
Could be.
It could be moose.
They're scary.
Yeah, I was They'll like, guys, don't go in there. But they all want to go in and look
those
at
Those are
it.
The only ones you have to be worried about. Those are the only ones that will fuck you up. Like an elk, if they're horny and they're in the rut, it's totally possible that an elk might charge you or headbutt you or
what
something like that.
What if you're near like their that? Kid? Or they'll
be gone. You'll never get that close. They're not like bears. Bears fuck up. Like bears would be like curious and shit, go down the wrong road, and all of a sudden there's a hiker. That shit does not happen.
I'm like, well, I guess I got to kill it.
Deer hear you, and they're like, what the fuck? Yeah. Doing, doing. They just bounce away. Bears aren't scared of shit. So when they hear things, they don't think, oh, this is a person coming to eat.
They're just like something over there.
They just think, oh, there's something over there I might eat later. See. And then all of a sudden there's you, and they don't know what you are, and they're near their babies. And they're like, you know what? I'm not taking any chances, especially a female. Like a female bear near her cubs is one of the most dangerous things.
You just run as soon as you see a baby cub. You just get the fuck out of there.
Definitely back up. Definitely get out of there. Definitely get out of there. You see a cub, get the fuck out of there.
You see that video of that guy that got attacked by a bear? Of course you did. Of course you did. Yeah. And then he said he got attacked again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same one. And he couldn't get to his gun. He had to play dead. That bear fucked him up, man. Grizzlies are terrifying.
Yeah.
They are a goddamn terrifying animal.
Yeah.
And they are enormous. I've seen them.
Really?
I saw one grizzly in real life. I've seen them in the zoo. I saw them in a grizzly sanctuary, but I saw one in the forest. It was so creepy, dude.
What, is it just looking at you?
It looked at me. It looked right through me.
How far away?
40 yards, 50 yards. It was really close. Yeah.
Did you have bear spray?
No, we had rifle. We had shotguns, rather.
Oh.
We had to scare it off. We had
You weren't trying to kill it?
No. You're not allowed to kill grizzly bears. Or I was.
They're endangered there?
Yeah. We got lucky that it, you know, we were just in an area passing through.
Yeah.
It wasn't where we were going, ultimately, so we didn't have to worry about it being where we stopped, but it was in an area where we are. And we had guns on us, but it was pretty close to where we were by the side of the road. It's pretty close. It's crazy to look at them, man. They have a different look in their eyes. A grizzly has this like crazy dead look in its eyes, like it's not concerned about you. It's concerned on what it's going to do with you.
Like croak up?
Man, maybe even less. More creepy than croak up.
Remember how bored he looked before fights?
Yeah.
He's just like, let's just do this.
Him and Vandalay, they just fucking, Vandalay just pulled out. Vandalay doesn't want to fight him or something's going wrong.
Oh, they were
going
to do one?
They were fighting on New Year's Eve, man.
Oh, that's so soon. Cycling wrong.
I don't know what the fuck happened. But anyway.
So wait. So you track this thing. So you're like, okay, I got one. Yeah. Or he's like, I got one. You meet up. And you're like, hey, I found one. How many yards away? How many hours away? Yeah, like a typical one. What would it normally be?
You would like to get as close as you can. But there's a certain distance where like, if you go any closer, you're going to blow this. Because there's no way it's going to see you or it's going to hear you or the wind is bad.
No, but I mean like how far away, when you glass it, how far away is
that? Well, the first time we saw it, it was about 100 yards.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
I couldn't get the scope set up properly. I was too close to the scope. And I had to realize that I had to sit back a little bit to center it in. And then once I sat back a little bit and centered it in, the fucking deer went behind a rock. So then I was with Steve Ranella. He made this noise, this weird noise he'd made with this little whistle thing he has. And the deer paused for just a second and came out from behind the rock. And I shot it. It just dropped.
Whoa.
It was crazy. Yeah, it was like about 200 yards. And it dropped. And then I had to go over there and finish it off.
Were you even breathing when you shot it the first time?
I was just happy that it worked. You know, because this is the first time I ever shot at anything that was alive. And I'm just squeezing the trigger, and boom, it goes off. And then next thing I know, the deer's legs are up in the air.
Do you remember if you were nervous at all?
I was totally nervous.
So, like, when it goes behind the rock, you're like, fuck, can't get a beat on it? Are you just like...
Yeah, the whole time I was nervous. I was trying to stay calm. I was like, wow, this is a tremendously pressure-filled moment.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult to do. You know, like, anybody who thinks that hunting in any way is easy, man, it's fucking nerve-wracking. Super nerve-wracking.
How much are you even trying to press that guy?
Well, I definitely didn't want to be a bitch around him.
Yeah.
For sure.
Launch
him
off the rock.
But I was never going to impress him.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way that's going to impress him. I mean, he's probably killed... He's been hunting since he was a teenager.
Good job. You did it well.
Oh, well, he did say that, man. He was happy. He was super happy. And I was happy that he was happy because when someone takes you on, like, in a mentorship role, like, is going to mentor you through something, like... it's an honor in a lot of ways, and it's also a fucking tremendous responsibility for you, because a lot of people would die to be in that position. Like, you better do the most with it. Someone who's a diehard hunter who could go and get this guy Steve Rinella to take him on a guided hunt, like, holy shit, you're so lucky, you know?
Yeah, that is cool.
So I looked at it that way, but when I started eating that deer, we were eating it over the fire.
That night?
That night we ate the liver. And we had liver and heart. We cut out the liver and the heart. We took that back to the camp. And then because we were pretty far out, and we didn't want to carry the deer that night, so because we were going to have to butcher it and chop it up, and that takes a long time, and we didn't want to do it that night. So we decided to hang the deer in a tree. So you hang it in a tree so nothing can get to it. But you still, like, cats can get to it, and things can get to it. But we hung it pretty high in the tree, and we took the organs back to the camp. We walked, like, whatever it was, like maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles. And we got back to the camp and cooked the liver and the onions over a campfire, and it was glorious.
That's pretty cool.
That was pretty much when I decided I'm going to do this from now on. Like, this makes sense, because this, I don't feel bad about that animal's life, because that animal lived a wild life. It's the way it's supposed to live. It lived, it's as wild as it gets. We were there for 6 days. I saw maybe 3 people.
Really? Oh, that sounds great.
It was amazing.
So what's, like, okay, so when you're out there like that, what's the camaraderie like? Like, is it joking? Is it quiet?
Callan was with us, so okay. It was like an ongoing comedy training. Show. It was all about cocks. It was one long Callan killing set.
Really?
Like him killing, doing stand-up. He was so funny, man. He's like, that's where Callan's at his best. And he has, like, a captive audience like that. Like, he just is such a natural, funny
guy. You can't get out of there?
Oh, my God, he was the best. We had so much fun. We cried laughing for, like, 5 days.
So you're allowed to make full noise?
No. This is, like, back when we were at camp.
Okay.
When we hunted in separate troops. Callan would go off with my friend Ryan Callahan.
Yeah.
And then Rinella and I would go off a different direction. Because if you had all four of us going together, we'd make way too much noise. We'd get seen. We'd get heard. And we wouldn't have the same opportunities. So one would go left, one would go right. We just talked about it. You know, you never know why go left, why go right. It's like, there's whatever, no logic to it. It's like, let's find out where the deer are. We don't really know.
And then we say, let's meet up here in an hour?
No, we would meet up there either at the end of the day. We all knew where the camp was, you know, so we would just go back to camp.
And you both do your own hunt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
So when you are there, so it's a lot of joking. Okay.
It was real fun, man. There's no cell phones. Cell phones don't work.
Hell yes.
And you see every fucking star that Odin ever put in the sky. When you're lying down at night, when you look up, you're like, holy shit.
Damn.
There's no light pollution up there, man. And as long as it's not cloudy, and like one day we were there, the first day we were there, pouring rain, just pouring rain all night, all throughout the night, just freezing cold, pouring rain. But from then on, the rain stopped, the clouds moved out, and it got super, super cold, like into like 9 degrees.
Really?
God damn, the night sky, you would look up and you would just see beautiful stars everywhere, man. And that you would hear weird animals like fucking bouncing off in the distance and shit. And one time we had a deer come into camp while we were sleeping.
Really?
Yeah, he came into camp and he's probably horny. You know, he didn't know what the fuck he was doing. They get horny and they get crazy. And he,
what do you got? You guys are... No,
he damn smelled
it.
That it was people. So he started snorting and stomping on the ground. So he was like outside of our tent snorting and stomping on the ground. Because he was upset that he smelled people.
Oh. Did you kill it?
No. You can't even see it. Like, it's so dark out. You don't see a goddamn thing. Unless the moon's out.
Yeah.
And even then, you can't shoot by
Dude, I love light. It when you go up to the Pasadena Mountains or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just any of those. But anywhere you can't see any light pollution. And it's like, right. Damn, there's a lot of stars.
Oh, my God. There's so many stars. Like, if you went to, like, out to
Joshua Tree or anything.
Joshua Tree, yeah. Palm Springs, out area. Go out there. God damn, there's so many stars. There's apparently a day. Like, I was talking about it. Like, we should have a day where we all shut our lights off. Apparently, there is something like that.
Where everyone shuts
off. National Light Pollution Day.
Really?
Where they want everybody to just turn off as many lights as possible. Everybody shut the lights off for like an hour or something.
That's cool.
I was just went back to the Keck Observatory in on the Big Island of Hawaii. I was just there 2 weeks ago.
Look at the stars.
Yeah, man. I go to the Big Island specifically to go to that observatory and see the stars. Just to look up from the visitor center, it's so amazing, man. It's like you just see so many stars. This time wasn't as good because this time was a little cloudy. You couldn't see as many as you could. But the one time I went, and it was perfect. There was not no moon in the sky. You could see every goddamn star. It was just the full Milky Way galaxy.
Damn, I love that.
God, it's the best. It's the most incredible view that really that exists, you know?
Yeah.
I thought you told people we should have locked that door. There's a little lock on that door, isn't there?
Should I go lock it?
Nah.
Yeah, it's
more
right.
drama if it stays open. Yeah,
it's fine.
See if they figure it out.
So what happens when you miss? So you're lining up this thing. You're hunting something for a day, maybe.
Yeah, if you miss, you're pissed.
Like, what's the feeling? You've done that where you're lining something up and you're like, time to die.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an exact science. You know, that's why you're not like. There's people that take, like, especially rifle hunters, that take these crazy long shots. They'll do like 800 yard shots. You know, and they'll shoot an animal 800 yards away. It's like really technical stuff. Like, you have to have so many things accounted for and adjusted for because it's traveling
wind.
8+ football fields.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of hang time. Like, there's boom, and then you'll hear it make impact. Whoa. Like, say if you're shooting a metal target, they shoot these metal targets because you can hear the dink. So you hear boom, dink.
Really? That long?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, when it gets out to like 800 plus yards, that gets real squirrely.
Damn.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad shots are taken at like super long distances. A lot of guys can do it.
They do it to challenge themselves because like kids.
Yeah, it's also it's kind of a braggadocious thing in some ways. You know, you shot it from 800 yards out like a fucking savage, and you just dropped it with full confidence. I don't know. It's weird. You know, like anything, when the degree of difficulty is not high enough to satisfy people, they start doing things to challenge themselves more.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things they do with hunting is they increase the distance. You know, they increase how far away they use a rifle.
How tough a shot it was. Only 1 in 10 men can make that shot.
So then some guys will go to bows.
Yeah.
That's not difficult enough. And then if that's not difficult enough, then they go to traditional bows. There's a big movement to do that.
What, just like tie something off yourself?
No, they make what's called recurve bows, which is not even nearly as strong and as fast as a compound bow.
Like the sleepaway camp bows where you really just pull it back?
Yeah. There's a bunch of different kinds, the recurve being the strongest. I mean, you can get some pretty deep. You can kill a lot of things with a recurve bow if you're really good at it. I mean, there's guys that can do it, but it's nowhere near as effective as a compound bow. It's not even close. So it's for guys who think compound bows are for pussies.
Like, that's just too easy.
Yeah, it's like... You know it is, man. If someone does a 10K, then they want to do a marathon. You do want a marathon, you want to do an ultra.
Yeah, and go more. You know, do people tell a lot of hunting stories while they're out there?
Sometimes they're good stories, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, some people have had some crazy goddamn hunting stories. My friend John Dudley told probably the craziest hunting story ever.
Really?
They shot an elk in Alberta, and as they were getting ready to gut the elk and take it out, they got surrounded by wolves.
What?
Yeah. They'd shot an elk in the wolf's territory. Like real close to the wolf's den.
Damn. So they were like, that's ours?
They were surrounded by wolves, and the wolves made a run at them. So they shot one of the wolves, and then another wolf made a run at them, and they shot another wolf, and then another wolf made a run at them. They shot a third wolf. They had their back to the tree, and they had wolves surrounding them howling.
What?
So the wolves were taking inventory of who's still alive. And they howled, like they all howled together. And he said there was like 10 wolves surrounding them. And then there was this one alpha male. And he said he looked at the alpha male, he drew back his bow, and the alpha male took off, and they all followed him. And that was it.
Damn.
He had put in his mind that bow meant that wolves are dying, and that the gun meant wolves are dying. Like, he had to figure it out somehow or another. This guy pointing that thing at me, I got to get the fuck out of here. So the wolf took off, and they wound up pulling the elk out of there.
They took, wow.
Yeah, they got their elk.
Jesus
and
Christ.
And they got three wolves. They killed three wolves.
Did they get to eat wolf meat?
You could if you wanted to.
I would definitely eat
that. Steve Ranella was telling me the other day that there was some famous hunter from like the 1800s, and wolf was his favorite meal.
Really?
And he loved to eat wolf. How crazy do you have to be to want to eat a wolf?
Just to want it bad. I ate a zebra this summer.
Man. You had a zebra?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Where?
Borough Market in London. It's, yeah.
What does it taste like?
It's kind of tough. you know, but just meat.
Didn't you eat horse at me in Montreal?
Uh-huh. Yeah, raw horse.
Yeah.
Raw horse meat.
Yeah, we had horse tartare, right? Is that horse what it was?
Joe's.
God damn, that was good.
Joe's?
Joe Beef.
Joe Beef, Joe there Beef you go.
Montreal. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. God damn. Is it, so was it similar? Zebra?
Nah, it was tougher. It had like the hard pieces in it.
Whoa.
You know, like just tougher.
Gristle.
Yeah, gristle. It was okay, though. It was all right. I didn't put too much stuff on it because I wanted to want to fucking, you know, get into it.
Yeah. Want to know what it really tastes like, right?
Yeah. Did you, what was I going to say? It's gone, man. Mm. What's the bear hunting like? Because that can come at you, right? At some point.
They can come at you. My friend Jonathan, who's one of the guides up there, they had a wounded bear this past year. Somebody had shot the bear and didn't make a good shot on it.
Oh.
And the bear charged them. And he wound up shooting it with his shotgun 10 feet away from him. The bear got within 10 feet, and he shot it. He's like, literally, I could have touched it with the tip of the rod.
Wow, shotgun. 10 feet.
10 feet. Charged him. Boom! He shot it right there.
And it just like fell into him?
Well, it just he shot it in the head, like right in front of him, and it just dropped it.
God.
Yeah. What in the fuck, dude?
Have you eaten the bear meat now?
Yeah. I got some if you want it. I got some. Yeah. I got some bear summer sausage. You can eat it. It's already cooked.
Really?
Slice it. Yeah. I like to reheat it. You know, if you're into crackers, if you eat crackers, it's really good on crackers.
Have you found like cuts of bear that you like over other cuts of bear?
I like bear backstrap.
Really?
Yeah. It's like the...
What do your daughters think of all this stuff?
They've been eating it since they were babies.
Do they know what you're doing?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't like you killed yoga.
No, no. They have no worries about that at all. No.
That's pretty good. Because that could go wrong.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Daddy, no, don't go again.
They understand that animals, like when you buy a hot dog, you're buying animals.
Yeah.
It's just somebody else killed the animal. We just explained to them, like, if you want to eat meat, an animal has to die. So far, right now, as of right now, we're really close to being able to scientifically recreate meat.
You think so?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, they've already done it. It's incredibly expensive right now. It's like the process hasn't been, you know, ironed out and turned into mass production, but they're going to be able to do that for sure.
Whoa. Just what that KFC rumors were always.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That was way too expensive.
Beakless.
But what they're going to be able to do is they're going to be able to just make just the meat.
Oh, right.
No animal. And so there's
would
not
you be into
be
that?
I would definitely eat it, yeah. As long as it wasn't bad for you.
Right.
As long as there was any way, like if you could, I mean, boy, you wouldn't want to be testing. Like one of the first people to fucking try it.
No.
You know, I mean, it would be weird if we found out some strange diseases.
Remember when David Cameron said there was no more mad cows in London or in England and he gave his daughter a fucking burger to eat? Prime Minister of London. It might not have been David Cameron, but I think it was. When there was the mad cow scare and he goes, it's safe. I'm showing you it's safe. And he let his daughter eat a burger. And people were like, Jesus, man.
Yeah, man. I have a friend who went over to London during the time where the mad cow shit was going on. And so for the longest time, like, he couldn't give blood. He couldn't, yeah.
Oh, because he was...
Yeah, because he, like, for, like, you have a quarantine period that lasts a long time. Because those prions...
It was, like, taking 10 years for some people to get, like,
it could take a long-ass time, man. It could take a long fucking time.
What time is it, about 10:30?
Yeah.
Okay, we're okay.
It's probably running late, though. The store always is.
Usually is. I heard Louis in town, too.
Holla.
Yeah, but he didn't come in yesterday, so that's okay. Bette Miller left her glasses there, and Adam was, like, talking to her husband. Was like, yes, yeah, I have them if you want to come in, like, being all, but he, like, walked away from me. You know what, sometimes takes a call, and they walk away.
Right.
So I just trailed. I was, like, a foot behind him. And then he got around the corner into his office, and then he started to close the door, but I was, like, on him. He didn't realize I was still following from the hallway. And I was like, is that Mr. Midler? Is that Ben Miller's husband? So he just starts kicking at me. shut up. Stop it.
That's hilarious.
Do you ever want to go big game hunting? Like lions and shit?
No.
No, not at all.
No desire.
Why?
I want to only... I only want to kill things that I'm going to eat.
So you can eat lion?
Yeah, you don't want to. It's not good. It doesn't taste good.
Oh, really?
No. No, the things that taste good are the things you already know taste good, plus like other African antelopes. Like there's a bunch of things called like elands and eel guys. There's all these different African antelopes that taste amazing.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's all sorts of crazy African antelope connoisseurs. I think it's like the best meat in the world.
That's like free range.
Oh, it's as free as it gets. It's from the motherland, you know?
Yeah.
And there's But it's a very perverse system over there. Like, most of the hunting that you do over there is behind fences.
What do you mean?
Yeah, Africa has turned into these a lot of the places where people go to hunt are these game parks. These places where they're wild game, but they're all fenced in.
So they're borders of the wild game. So it's like the experience, but not like
fully out there. Wow, it's real sketchy. Because you could argue both ways. Because there's not a fence in the world that's going to keep most of those animals out. That's the reality. They're not high fences. They're just, you know, like 5-6 feet. If they, all these animals, they'd either go through it or over it. The fence is more of a deterrent to people coming through. Like, they have to make it, they have to cut the fence, they have to come through, and they get that all the time. They have poachers. And apparently, they wind up shooting the poachers. They treat poachers like you would treat a coyote that was stealing your chickens. They just shoot them. Yeah, dude, my friend was there. When my friend was there, they shot at a poacher. They didn't kill him, but they shot at a poacher in front of him.
Really?
Just fucking saw a poacher, and he's like back up.
That's like allowed?
Yeah, the guy had a gun, too. And apparently, the guy didn't think that they could see him because he had put some stuff on his face that he thought was black magic.
Yeah.
And so he thought that he had a spell under him. So
no way, for real?
Yeah. So he thought they had a spell under him so that they couldn't see him. So he was coming closer to them because his rifle's like this really makeshift thing. Like, it's almost like a musket. Like, he doesn't have real bullets like a lot of these poachers. They have like gunpowder they packed into the barrel of a gun, and then they put like some sort of a projectile in there, and then they have to like light it on fire or something.
Jesus.
Start. Oh, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, they're incredibly primitive.
That's way different than the movies and even the pictures.
They do a lot of like leg snares. They're just, most of it is extremely poor people that are trying to steal meat from these parks that are, these animals are all owned by these gigantic ranches, these hunting ranches. So these ranches, people fly in from all around the world, and they have this just gigantic bounty of wildlife to choose from. Like, they have a laundry list of shit they want to shoot.
And you can, like, just go there and
shoot,
like, yep,
a zebra. Okay, I want to shoot a giraffe. Take you to
this place?
I'm here to get a wildebeest and a kudu. I need to get my big eight. And they have like these numbers, like, that they want to get the big 25. I got the grand slam. I got the super slam. They have like super slams of wild game where they have like numbers of animals that you have to get in order to get a super slam.
And wow.
So these, yeah. So these crazy big game hunters that really
they go back like today. I'm going to get my.
They go to collect all the different kinds of animals.
And you have no interest in that because you're just there to eat them.
I have zero interest in anything other than shooting deer and elk.
So,
and
do you still taste really? Do you good. Still enjoy boring hunting, like fishing?
I love fishing.
You still enjoy that? Yeah.
Fishing's awesome. Oh. Yeah, I went fishing in Hawaii. It's awesome.
Really?
Yeah,
it is pretty fucking
caught
awesome.
Caught tuna and then ate it for lunch.
Really?
Had sashimi that day for lunch. It was amazing. Yeah, yes. Man. It's fun. They never choke anybody. Mm. There's a lot of people like that. And then
like
there's
raccoons almost. Yeah. Raccoons do that. Well, you ever had a raccoon on you?
Never had a raccoon on me. Have you?
Oh, yeah.
They bite you?
Dude, they're...
You ever had one bite you?
I've had maybe bite. I mean, I got scratched or bitten. I mean, I had to get all the rabies shots. I mean, I grew up in like the rabies belt, you know? So and they group up.
Raccoons do?
Dude, raccoons are... They are... I can't believe we can't shut all that shit down. How many of them are roaming the streets at night?
A lot.
Bro, how crazy is it?
You ever see them stare you down?
Bro, you ever seen Madagascar? Yeah. They're everywhere, dude.
When I lived in New Rochelle, New York, and they used to have these urban raccoons.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a different kind of raccoon. Raccoons that live in high-density areas are a bolder species, and they have access to massive amounts of food. They just would lift off the lid from the garbage can. They'd lift off the lid. They get inside the garbage can, they tear the garbage bags open, and they just be sitting there staring at you.
Yeah.
Looking jacked, like a Gold's Gym tank top on. Yeah. Like, they were big. I was like, how is that a raccoon? That's a big animal.
Yeah.
So I bought a blowgun. Where you shoot darts.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
What the heck,
yeah, man? Well, these motherfuckers would wreck my garbage and you're knock like, shit over, and I'd be sleeping, and I'd hear, look at bang. This. Look at him climbing up.
Dude, we had one.
What is he doing? He's going to get that bird feeder?
He's going to unscrew the bird feeder.
He's doing whatever he wants.
Oh, my God.
Bro.
Look how smart he is. Dude, this is insane. Oh, look how smart this thing is. But also, look how confident it is in its strength.
And look at him looking over at the camera. He knows he's being filmed, dude.
Yeah, and look how he's... Yeah, I don't think he knows that. But look how good he is at climbing up. I mean, this is crazy. The amount of physical strength this fucker has.
Look at this.
Look at that. Just they, let all that seed go. And now he's look hanging. Look at
this, partying.
That
you saw
is
that?
Crazy.
And they fuck, too, dude. You can hear them at night. Of course we used they to fuck. Live, we used to hear a bunch of them having sex at night, and you could hear. You can go outside, and even in a residential neighborhood, dude, there's 70 of them on your block. Like, there's so many raccoons living amongst us that it blows my mind that it's not a bigger issue.
Pull that up again. Look with that video. Dude, how many people, even if they could do that, if they had the kind of strength to do that, how many people would even figure out how to navigate that so easily?
Dude, Matt Eisman would host this. This is like American Ninja Warrior. Dude, you telling me that they don't steal some of these games from this?
Look at this fucker.
Look at him.
How can we stop going full screen?
Because he's looking.
It kept starting over. I don't know.
Oh, okay. When it goes full screen, it starts over.
I don't know what the hell is happening.
Look at this. And is that a fake China person or something?
Look at his fucking ability to just hang on there with one arm and then grab with his feet. That is bananas.
What is that called in UFC? Is that a move?
No, it doesn't exist. Oh. I guess maybe jump to guard.
Yeah.
You kind of jump into guard.
Look
here.
At that.
It's amazing.
Look at that shit.
His
bro,
little body, like what he can do, his little body is just crazy.
Yeah, how much core strength does a raccoon have to do that?
Oh, dude, so much.
And they is eat not garbage. Working?
Is this freezing up?
I hit pause on purpose.
Dude, they can eat newspaper. How crazy is that?
Can they?
Yeah.
Play that. Keep going. This. Look at this. But look how comfortable he is, just hanging from his fingers with all four limbs.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's just chilling. He's not worried that something's gonna happen. He's like, let me just scoop my ass up here, climb. I'm just gonna twist this fucker off here. Look at him. He's hanging on with his legs,
And he just cracked it open. Yeah. And now look at this reverse. Look at this Oksana Bayul at the end.
But the crazy thing is, he could hold on to that plastic tube with his hands and feet, like two of each. Dude, either two of his hands or two of his feet.
Bro, their hands. Look at the size of their body.
Yeah,
their hands are this big.
They're tiny.
Could you imagine having a little bitty baby hand and having to do something?
I know, right? Look how much smaller their hand is than their face. You'd have hands like a 4-year-old girl's.
Yeah. Imagine opening a door, bro. You can't even open a door. You just have to stare at a doorknob with little. Bro, I'm talking the littlest hands, man.
Yeah, tiny. They'll fuck you up, too, those things.
Yeah.
Raccoons eat a lot of chickens, too. They like to get into chicken coops, fuck up chickens.
Dude, they would jump on your back. It was almost, here's the crazy thing I remember about being around raccoons. It felt like they were playing with you, but had an immediate propensity for violence. Like, it could go, like, very quick from fun and comfortable to extremely violent.
It makes sense. I mean, what a rough and tumble world the world of the raccoon is. Look at this motherfucker open the door.
They live at night. Look at this one.
He opened a door.
Look at this one.
Is this someone's pet raccoon?
No, I think this is.
They close the door here and it opens it again.
My grandmother had a friend that had a couple.
So he just knows how to open doors. Creepy fuck. There's something weird about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strange animal that like almost seems like it shouldn't be real. You know, like a smart, weird animal that lives in the forest. Like, you expect it to start talking to a little kid that's on a walk.
Yeah.
Like,
hey,
who are you? Yeah. Where are you from?
And it's it's got dice in its little hand. Yeah. One dice, let's just turning it over.
Listen, your grandmother won't mind if you hang out with me for a little while.
Yeah, come look
come
at
on,
this.
Come on, I'll show you a house that's made of candy.
Yeah, you want some lipstick. They're putting lipstick on each other.
Creepy animals. But that's weird to me. The weirder animals are the animals that have adapted to living right next to people.
That's them, dude.
Yeah. Coyotes. That's coyotes. That's them.
Well, you tell me about a coyote you had at your house.
I got a bunch of them at my house. They're just in the hills. If you live anywhere around L.A. in particular, anywhere that there's some trees and shit in between the houses, guess what? You got coyotes. They just fucking live everywhere, man. I saw them on Olive in Burbank the other day. Driving up Olive, I saw fucking coyotes. I was like, whoa.
Somebody reported a coyote fight in my neighborhood when I was growing up, and it was somebody made that up, but the cops still showed up. And I remember they interviewed everybody like, we fucking knew anything about it, dude.
Do you think coyotes fight? I wonder if they do fight with each other.
I don't think
so. I've never heard of them fighting.
At this
but it must make sense. Someone has to be the boss in the coyote world. Wolves do. Wolves fuck each other up.
Do they really?
Yeah. It's awful. They kill each other. Oh, these are coyote fights here? Most intense coyote fight. Oh, look at this. They're going to war right here.
Oh, this is on World Star, I think. Is this World Star?
That's when you draw back right there.
Look at that.
Another one jumped in. Three coyotes strategically held by a bush.
Do you
fuck? They're fucking each other up, dude.
Do you think we could ever get to the point where, you know, that humans fight animals like they did back in the old days, you know?
Like gladiator style?
Yeah, seriously, though.
Yeah, you could do that in another country for sure. Yeah, if somebody from some crazy country where they had some maniacal dictator who's on crystal meth, and he decided to have humans versus lions, give a dude a sword and a shield and some armor and have him fuck up a lion, 100%.
Do you think that goes on?
I wouldn't say no.
Yeah.
Because I think there's people with enough money, like fucking crazy, crazy prince money.
Oh,
like
yeah.
If they're a prince of some crazy country, these people just probably can't get satisfied. It's not, they can't get enough
They've
Ferraris.
Done it all.
Yeah.
Cocaine, pussy.
Yeah. Pussy,
butthole,
private
everything.
Jets, islands in France. Like, what else do I want? What else do I want? I want to watch a dude fight a lion with a sword.
Yeah.
There's probably like some place that you can go, right? And it's got like drains in the floor where they hose it down from all the blood. And it's like built like a hockey rink.
Yeah.
But the floor, underneath the floor, there's a zoo, just like that they used to do it in the Roman days. And it rises up. They let the animal out.
Yeah.
Close it down. And then they open the cage and the fucking dude stands there with the sword. And the crowd goes, yeah. And they're all listening to techno music and speaking Dutch. And then that...
well, suddenly we know where they are.
That dude,
Amsterdam.
That dude and that fucking lion go to war. They go at it, man.
Yeah. You think he has like face paint on or anything? Or he's just...
It's probably a good move. Put a little face paint on. You need every edge.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to fight a lion with a sword. You're probably going to get killed. You're going to cut the lion and then get killed. That's what you're going to do.
You're going to get one good hit at it.
If you're lucky, probably won't even.
Really?
Yeah.
A sword, man?
Yeah. You don't have any idea how slow you are until you're around a cat that kills antelopes and shit, chases after wildebeest, takes them out with its face.
You just got to have that chop, bro.
You have no idea.
I think everybody.
See, I don't think you get a shot off. I think if the cat wants to, the cat's on you so fast, you barely have time to move your arm. That's what I think. I don't think you have, I don't think you have any idea how fast a real predator moves and how ridiculously soft human beings are.
Right.
Especially if you're not some.
I don't.
Fucking Conan the Barbarian dude who can actually swing a sword, a heavy sword, with some fucking oomph behind it.
Yeah.
You ever pick up a real sword?
It's
They're heavy as shit, man. They're fucking heavy.
And it's sharp. It's almost scary to have one sometimes because you're like, fuck, I would hurt myself or I'd cut my cousin up or something on accident or I'd hurt somebody at the house.
Yeah, the odds of you killing that lion with one swipe are almost zero. You're going to get fucked up.
Okay, how would you attack it then? Say you're in a place, you got this sword. Maybe you got one other weapon, a small weapon you keep on your leg or something.
The only way that I think you have a chance is if you can keep your shit together and plunge that blade in its chest as it leaps on you. That's the only way. You would have to be ready to, as it comes at you, to push forward and hold on to that sword with everything you have as it's coming at you and the blade goes into its body.
Fuck yeah.
That might be the only way. And even then, it's going to swat you and rip you apart.
You just have to hold on the whole time.
You're not going to be able to. It's not possible.
I think you could do it, dude.
Nope.
You don't think you could?
No.
And you would keep both hands on. Now, that's how you acted it out. You keep both hands on it.
You are not going to be able to hang on. You're just not. It's a different kind of power. It's like the power of many, many men. It's like the idea of, hey, bro, do you think you can win a fucking tug of war with 10 dudes?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, bro. Most guys are bitches.
You have no chance. New Jersey, yeah.
You have no chance. There's a strength level. You'd have to be like some Herculean Marius Pudzianowski type dude. Some just enormous fucking world's strongest man guy with chalk all over your hands and a good grip on the blade and maybe tie it down like a rodeo rider and plunge it into the heart of a lion. And even then, I don't think you're hanging on to it. I think that thing's going to buck and kick and you're going to be so terrified. And if it's a male lion, you're going to see that mane and that face and your body.
It's going to scare you?
You're going to get diminished. Yeah, you're going to be so overwhelmed with adrenaline. Your instinct's going to be to just run away from that thing as far as you can.
Do you feel like some truths any innate truths would be revealed as you're sitting there looking into each other's eyes and you know that it's going to kill you?
I don't think you're even there at that point. I think you're it's such a primal experience that I think at that point you're probably you're barely a human. You're just a series of synapses firing that are designed to protect you from predators. I think you're just in full panic, full adrenaline rush, full survival mode where you don't know what the fuck is going on. I have some friends.
Fuck, man.
I got some friends that got attacked by a bear. They got attacked by a giant grizzly bear.
And they got really hit?
No. Everybody got away, survived, luckily. But they were in an island off of Alaska, a Fog Neck Island. And it's a huge population of brown bears and elk. And they all live together. And these fucking bears are huge. And this bear, which was like an 11-foot bear, charged into their camp and knocked everyone over. Like, guys were flying left and right. One of the dudes, his nickname's Dirtmouth. Dirtmouth was riding on the thing's back. If you want to hear the whole story, and it's a great story, go to the Meat Eater podcast. And I think the episodes just say a Fog Neck Island. I don't know if it says bear attack on a Fog Neck Island.
Wow.
But if you're a clever Googler, you'll find it's a great podcast anyway. Steve Rinell is a genius. He's a really interesting guy and a hunter. Like, he just totally defies the stereotype that people have of like doofy hunters, like super well-read, really interesting guy. But his depiction of this event, the most striking thing about it was that it defied everything that he thought it would be like if there was an actual bear attack.
Sounds like Hemingway-esque almost in a weird way.
Well, in a weird way, yeah. Because if something really fucking crazy happens, the best case scenario is there's someone who actually knows how to write that's right there when this something crazy happened.
Right.
And this is the case. But instead of writing it, he just does a very eloquent job of describing it, as does everybody else there. I mean, there was quite a few guys there. My friend Remy Warren was there, and Giannis Fratellis. This is one where they got false attacked. This was in British Columbia. They got false charged. A false charge is a bear, this in this